voice that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
I've always liked this song a lot, and as we will look at it, it's a great worded song. I think the tune goes definitely good with the words. I think it's can impact our hearts. But you know, as we, I can remember as a kid, I remember my kids as, you know, time to go to bed, asking, you know, tell me a story. Tell me a bedtime story. Sometime you might request, tell me a story from your childhood. So you're asking for a true story, something that happened. And sometimes they want a story, and you just make it up off the cuff, just something that's going to be entertaining for them. When we sing the song, it says, tell me the story of Jesus. We know in this case that that story is true. We know that it's relevant, and let's look at this song. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. You know, even all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, Moses speaking says, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So I think this scripture exemplifies when we sing, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. This exemplifies that thought when we read in Deuteronomy. When we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says these words. He says, you are our letters, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle or a letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of the flesh, that is, of the heart. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. And when we hear the story of Jesus, and that story of Jesus is written upon our hearts, then we become a letter of Jesus Christ that people can read us. We talk about Christ being seen in us, that we are a light to the world. We need to have the words of Christ written upon our hearts. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. In 1 Peter, when we talk about this story of Jesus Christ being precious, the sweetest story that we would ever hear in our lives, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it reads, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious." To God, we know that Jesus is precious. This story of Jesus is precious to God. In verse 6, it is also contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." And in verse 7, "Therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." The story of Jesus Christ is precious to God, we know. And we also see, reading here, the story of Jesus Christ is precious to true believers, to those that believe. In chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Our sins are not forgiven, or not forgiven as a result of anything that we find upon this earth, but only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, on this idea of the preciousness of the story of Jesus, in verse 7. Of 1 Peter chapter 1. "The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Believing in the story of Jesus Christ is more precious than anything else that we're going to find upon this earth. The story that is most precious is the story of Jesus Christ. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth, "Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth." In Luke, the second chapter, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, or behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" We know that this is where the words of this song comes from. We sing the song in Song 514, which we'll sing after the Lord's Supper, singing redemption song. Angels are singing redemption song. Wonderful theme and glorious theme. Shout the glad message and join in the throne, singing redemption's throne. Angels are singing redemption's sweet song. We too sing that. But to sing the redemptive song, singing and joy takes place at the birth of Jesus Christ. That is where it began. The second verse, verse 2.
"Tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his sorrow he bore. despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Fasting alone in the desert or in the wilderness, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. I look in the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And we know that Jesus, we read in Hebrews, that Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet he did not sin. And we see on this occasion the temptation of Jesus Christ. And this song says, tell me about the days that are past. You know, this happened some 2,000 years ago, but we should want to know about the temptation of Jesus Christ, where he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, in the desert. And in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, this is when Jesus was baptized by John. And Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. On this glorious moment, when this is said to Jesus, we see the emotion, the joy, just the nature of this situation. And then, right away, Jesus goes into the wilderness where he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And he's tempted of Satan. And we read that in verse or chapter 4. Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, in the desert. And then in verse 10 and 11, Jesus says to Satan, away with you, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. So when we sing this song, tell us about how Jesus was tempted by Satan on this occasion. And we do studies this. It's important that we know what Jesus went through, yet was triumphant at last when Satan left him. He said, our God is who we should worship. Only him should we worship. Tell of the years of his labor. Tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was 12 years old, we know that his family went to Jerusalem, and when they left, without realizing, they left Jesus there, and they went back and they found him teaching, preaching at the age of 12 years old. And then we look in the third chapter, verse 23, that talks about Jesus beginning his ministry at the age of 30. But we know that Jesus did much between the age of 12 that we read about there and the age of 30, when it, in those last 3 years or so, where so much of the Gospels that we read and we study take place in those last 3 years, especially in the last few weeks of Jesus' life. But tell me of the years of his labor. Jesus labored while he was on this earth for not more than 33 years, around that amount of time. Tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. On one occasion, Jesus said, I have not where to lay my head. We think about this when we talk about the story of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the third verse. And then just before partaking the Lord's Supper, we will sing the third verse and then partake of it. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. We find this talked about in chapter 27 and chapter 28 of Matthew, chapter 15 and 16 of Mark, chapter 23 and 24 of Luke, and chapter 19 and 20 of the Gospel of John, where it talks about Jesus Christ being nailed to the cross, all that he went through while he was upon the cross, being nailed to the cross, and even prior to the cross, the crown of thorns. Tell about the grave where they laid him, and then how he was raised from the dead, how he liveth again and ascended back on high to where he came. Love in that story so tender, clearly then ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. You know, as we have on occasion had this part of the story of Jesus, the cross, just preceding the cross, his burial, his resurrection, that it's told in a short time in very much detail how it affects us. It says, stay, let me weep while you whisper. We know what Jesus went through, and we need to hear this part of the story of Jesus. But I want to look at one last verse here before we sing that last verse of the song. And it's found in Luke 23. This is as a great multitude was following, and they were carrying the cross on the way to where Christ was going to be crucified. And there were the women there, and people were mourning and lamenting as they were walking. And Jesus turns to them, says, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. These women were going to experience the destruction of Jerusalem and the things that they were going to have to go through. He said, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. He knowing what was going to take place and the atrocity that took place in the destruction of Jerusalem. And yes, it's appropriate, a good response to weep and to be saddened by what Jesus went through. But Jesus' concern for them, he said, weep for yourselves. Yeah, I'm going through a lot, but I'm willing to go through it because it is a glory to God the Father, and it is a necessity and benefit to you for forgiveness of our sins. Let's sing the last verse of the song.
Living in anguish and pain, tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay. Love paid